idea is to have a comprehensive migration strategy. A few points are very important in the short term. First of all, to quickly implement the law that was adopted in 2015 about the asylum law, which establishes a new refugee determination system. The former refugee determination system was abolished a year ago, but the new system has not been put in place. For the moment, there's a legal gap. No one can be recognized as a refugee. So this gap has to be closed very quickly. And also to improve oversight and especially have independent oversight mechanisms on the detention of migrants, detention in prisons or detention in immigration detention centers. So there's a series of avenues that I think the Angolan authorities should explore in order to create a more secure environment for asylum seekers, refugees, and migrants, and also for them to better control their borders by increasing the availability of visas to come and look for work. If we could have visa facilitation and visa liberalization with neighboring countries and then with other countries, I think this would increase considerably the control that the Angolan authorities exercise on borders.
Which migrants from which neighboring countries are mostly affected?
There's one group of migrants which is very specific. And I was told that by the Minister of Geology and Mines that in the diamond fields in Lunda Norte, Lunda Sur, there would be 300,000 Congolese citizens working irregularly in the informal diamond mining business. And that is the problem because diamond mining is a restricted business and should be only done by authorized and licensed organizations. So what the government is trying to do is to expand the geographical reach of cooperatives of miners in order to restrict the informal sector geographically. So that's a good thing. But there is an issue about the 300,000 Congolese citizens who are working in this informal sector and who are often arrested, detained, and deported quite quickly. In cities like Luanda, it's a completely different situation. You often have asylum seekers who have difficulty obtaining being recognized as refugees or have difficulty obtaining papers that they can show to the police when the police ask them for their papers. You have refugees, often refugees who've been in Angola for several years, if not several decades. And those refugees may also have difficulty having their papers renewed, and that's another kind of difficulty. But one thing that all migrants were quite unanimous to say was to say that they may have difficulties with Angolan authorities, but they've never had difficulty with the Angolan population, that they have found in the Angolan population quite a lot of solidarity and warmth.
Angola is in post-conflict mode. The judicial system and the law enforcement might not be that intact. How do you ensure that this is implemented?
Yeah, it is certain that Angola has achieved over 13 years since the end of the war an impressive success in terms of peace, of stability, and economic development. However, I think that this may have been done sometimes at the expense of migrants. And I think that it is now time to think about how to integrate many of the migrants into the Angolan society, especially when they have been here long term. And there is need to make sure that the migrants contribute and contribute in a regular way with the regular paper and a regular position in society to the Angolan community and to the Angolan economy. There might be a difficulty with political will at present, but I think that over time, integrating migrants into Angolan society will prove much more fruitful than trying to exclude them and send them back. I was told, for example, in the north, in Cabinda and Lunda Norte, that the operations to repatriate migrants to DRC, for example, you know, they repatriated 40 people on the Sunday, and on the Tuesday, most of them were already back into Angola. So there is quite a lot of inefficiency, and that this could be remedied by more thoughtful strategies.